Welcome to Christ Today. I am so glad to be here, and I give Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, thanks for being able to address you today. I've had a little trouble with, it's as though it was a cold, and it just made my strength kind of go away. And so I've had some great care from my wife, and I give her thanks for all the care she's given me, and that's why I have had a couple of weeks of replays. So now it's back to normal, maybe, probably, I think it is. So we just have to look at the world that's going on around us and just make sure that we have some of the basic supplies. And I always think of water filter, food, and warmth. And we all have a different idea of what to have on hand, but those are kind of basics. We have some troubles in the world, as you know. You're very well aware of the political things that have been put right in front of us and how things could escalate and just go one way or the other. But I want for all of us to remember that we want to keep the freedoms that we have in this country. You look at the other countries, maybe Hong Kong, maybe Singapore, and you recognize how they value what we have in America. We have a wonderful Constitution and Bill of Rights, and we have freedoms and liberties, and we want to keep them. We want to make sure that they continue. And that's something that freedom never has been free. If you look back at our founding fathers, we know that there was a great deal of sacrifice and thought that went into how to establish this government that we have, a republic. So these are the things that are a little bit on my mind, because we have situations where Russia and China want to increase their power and go into neighboring, areas. And this is an age-old theme where people want something and they will conquer it militarily to get it. And that's something that is a part of every country's history. And again, what I'm thinking about these days is keeping our freedom. How do we do that? We have so many things going on these days where the politicians want to give us one thing, and it might be a guarantee that we have our health, and so we better get our health passports. Or in California, we have the question of universal health care coming up. That would increase our taxes tremendously. What do you want? Do you want to pay for that? Because it's a tremendously expensive way to do it. Other countries have tried it, and they've found that it was too expensive. And I'm just thinking about what other countries have tried. There's other countries that are saying we need to have everyone vaccinated. Canada and Austria have talked about this, and they have been discussing the idea that if there is an unvaccinated person, that they will be charged something over $3,000 a year to to be allowed to be unvaccinated. I don't know how else to put it. But those are the things that are going on in our world. And when I think about freedom, what does that mean? What does liberty mean? Because that's our history. But how do we exercise it? How do we keep it? Now, this is something that we will all have a different idea about, and we have to reason our way through this, because that's what our forefathers did. And they put this system into place, and we want to preserve this, preserve our freedom. And there are so many people who want to take what we have, and it's done in different ways. One country will think about taking the resources of another country, that's for sure. We have China buying up so much of the world's food, grains, and such as that. And that has increased the food prices in the United States by at least 10%. So we just have things going on, and we want to maintain our freedom. And I think a part of that is having a supply of water, food, and warmth. And we have a system that we're dealing with that is kind of hard to deal with, the money system. And you, if you've looked in the news, you know our Federal Reserve is beginning the plans for an electronic dollar, and therefore eliminating all paper dollars and putting direct deposits into your account. How nice. They can give each one of us dollars. Oh boy. Well, if they can give it to us, they can take it away. And that's a part of the central bank digital currency. That's what it does. So we have plans going on that have been in process for not years, but decades. And it's just kind of hard to believe, unless we've been watching this stuff, that there are actually people who want to take our currency from us and give us something else, which would be central bank digital currency. And of course, the big thing about that is it aligns us up for the beast system. And, you know, we all have to think about what would you do if the beast system were suddenly here? What if you could not buy or sell unless you took the mark? I mean, we know it's coming because of Revelation chapters 17 and 13. It talks about the beast system. Now, there's plenty of questions that we have about it, and we do not know the whole story, that's for sure. But we know such and such is coming, and we can get a pretty good idea about what it is, and we also can get an idea about how to avoid it. How do we maintain our freedom, our liberty, in such a situation? And I think it's going to be different for each and every one of us, because if I had a plan and I could tell you, oh, this is how you avoid the system, probably nobody would do it unless they understood it to be the way it really was by their own thoughts. So, I mean, here's a for instance. These days there are more than a few people who are saying, to avoid the beast system, everyone should have a certain number of silver coins and gold coins to trade with. Well, if that were true, and it might be true, because it does offer a basis of trade to have silver coins, just like our original American dollar was based on a certain amount of silver or gold in a coin. And so people traded them knowing that that was the value, the consistent value. Now, if I were to say, you need silver and gold coins, go ahead, go out there and get $1,000 of each. Go ahead. Now, you see, the thing is, really, basically no one would do it. Why? Because they'd never done it before. They don't know how. They don't know where to go. They don't know about the values. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about when the beast system gets here. How do we avoid it? Well, are we really going to listen to someone's instructions? someone who we don't know? Are we going to listen to an advisor to the president? Are we going to listen to our pastors? Who are we going to listen to? So I say get your thoughts in order to see what you would do if it came about. But we know it is going to come about. We just don't know the timing and the intensity of it. We just are not sure. And speaking of the beast system, I will say it's in the Bible, therefore we do know that it's coming. So what is your plan to stay free in the midst of these difficulties? Because if you just say, oh, God will tell me what to do, well, he might. But there's been a whole lot of people in history who've said, God will protect me. And I would have to suppose that God does protect you. But it's not what you expect. He does things that are, in a spiritual way, different from what your earthly thoughts are. I guess I can go into that in a minute. But I just am trying to encourage everyone to think about the what if and what you would do if such a system were to come about. Well, we know that it's not even a if it comes about, because it's right there in the Bible. It tells about it so clearly. But somehow, we don't want to believe it's going to affect us. Yet, we are living sometime at the end of the age, and there's a pretty good chance that there's going to be a lot of things that affect us. And we have to figure out if we are going to think it through and decide what is good for us to stay alive and to stay healthy and well, or are we going to do what we're told? Yes, obey the authorities. Isn't that what Romans 13 tells us about? Well, there's a bit more to it than that, but it takes a little study to look at it and figure it out. But that, of course, Romans 13 is exactly the scriptures that those Nazis used to say, we are Christians in this country, and we follow the Bible. We love the Bible. And Romans 13 was brought out as a way to induce the people to obey the government. And, it's just a really another thing that we each have to look at, as to what are we going to obey and how are we going to maintain our freedom, our God-given freedom, our constitutional right. How are we going to do this? And that's why I'm urging everyone to think about it for themselves, so each one of us can develop a plan. And if we develop the plan, we are more likely to follow it. Or like I just said, go out and buy your $1,000 of silver coins and $1,000 of gold coins. Well, where are you going to do that? How are you going to feel comfortable that you're dealing with the right person? Get the right price. I mean, this is the kind of a thing where a little thinking in advance is essential. So what are you going to do when that system comes by that wants to take your freedom and every asset that you have? Better think about it in advance so that when it comes, we have an idea of what we are actually going to do. Now, you know that so many Christians believe one thing or another, and I think it's pretty interesting to think how many Christians are saying God will provide, that they don't have to do a thing, because after all, doesn't God clothe the lilies of the field and feed the animals? And yes, that's right there in Matthew 6:28. But how does it apply to you? If that is what you think applies to you, then why would you even go to the grocery store? Why would you buy any food? Why would you put gas in your car? There's no reason, if you really believe Matthew 6:28, that God will provide in those ways. It's something that, like I said, think about it in advance, because there are just so many parts to the Bible that says one thing or another. I mean, God tells us about our freedom because he's put a system in effect that shows the value of freedom. And God still loves the slave. God still loves the person who is indentured to someone. And he says we all can be saved. So, but we do have a question of what are we going to do to maintain our freedom? Our financial freedom is what I just talked about there. There's even in the scripture, you know, Luke 22:38, where Jesus says, two swords are enough. Two swords are enough. So, obviously, Jesus is not opposed to having an instrument of force or defense. And that's the kind of thing we have to put into our thinking, too, and pray about what it means. Does that mean two swords is enough, so everybody should have two swords? Do you have one? Do you have a rifle? I mean, I don't know the answer to these things. We each have our own thinking, and how are you going to develop it? I don't know, but I also can't decide for you. Because if I were to decide for you, it wouldn't be your thinking, and you would not want to do it. Anyway, that's the kind of thinking. I hope you develop your thoughts. It reminds me of a thought I have. About 2 years ago, no, a couple more, 4 years ago, I met a man who was just anxious to tell me about his two battle rifles. He had them, he owned them, he bought them. Just lovely. And I don't know what his thoughts were. It's just that he could kind of see the directions things were going, and not that he ever would want to use them. No, I knew he was a peaceful man, but I thought it was very interesting that he would have two fine battle rifles. So I asked him a little bit about it. And one of the things I asked him was, how much ammunition do you have for them? And the answer was about two boxes for each rifle. Two boxes of 20 means 40 bullets for each rifle. And so as you think about that, I just, as I've been thinking about it in the last couple of days, I have to ask, what would an Afghan soldier say about having two boxes of bullets for their battle rifle? Or the Ukrainians? I mean, look what's going on in Ukraine. Do you think the young Ukrainian men, whether they're civilians or soldiers or hunters, do you think they would be happy to have two boxes of ammunition for their battle rifle? Well, you know how ammunition is limited these days anyway. It's quite an issue if you're trying to get some. That's what I understand. I don't have personal experience in it, but it's something I just kind of have heard about. And so how much do you think is a good amount to have if you're going to have a battle rifle? Well, maybe we should ask the Afghanis. Or the Ukrainians, how much they... Actually, I have heard it recommended that there should be about 3,000 bullets for each rifle. Now, I've heard that, and I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say except to pass it on and to think that two boxes or 40 bullets is probably not enough if you have the thoughts that this is a question you might face one day. Well, these last weeks have been quite interesting because of the developments around the world, and we kind of get to appreciate the freedom we enjoy in America even more because we see the difficulties other places are having. But at some point, we may need to do something to maintain our freedom. Like I started in the beginning, I do believe that freedom is not free. And if you look at what the price our ancestors paid, yeah, I think of Valley Forge. Or there's so many things where there were battles. There were battles. Life was lost. People were willing to give their life. And that is in the Civil War as well. Just a lot of people were willing to die for the sake of freedom. It continued as American tradition, and America went to World War I and World War II for the sake of liberty, our freedom. So we've got things going on, and we have to figure what is our place in it. It's not quite like I know, because we each have to decide it for ourselves. What are you willing to do? Where's your food supply in case our food is cut off for a while? Speaking of cutting off, and ammunition, just one more little thing about that, is I remember, 92? There were the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, and somehow, for some reason, there was a business reason, I had to go into that area, and... Well, what I remember was that there was no ammunition available within 100 miles. Every single shop was closed down that would sell ammunition. Oh, so that makes me think of this two boxes of ammunition again. Well, I don't mean I have a recommendation. I hardly have a thought. It's just that I've been thinking about our liberty, and how do we maintain it? And really, I don't have an answer. I just think we ought to think about it because of the situations in the world that we can see right in front of us. Yeah, again, I don't know what to suggest. I just know that things are difficult for some people. And we can talk about all sorts of problems that there have been. I think about the people that have been persecuted. Yes, in China. And finally, there's talks about, yes, the Uyghurs, but they're not the only ones. All sorts of Christian groups have been targeted. They go to prison, and the first thing that happens when they go to the prison is they are blood typed. Why? To match up their organs with somebody who wants the organs that they have. And of course, because they belong to the state, they have no more rights to their body, so they are operated on and their organs are removed if there is any demand whatsoever. Well, anyway, let's see. So there's these things that have always gone on. It is a Holocaust. It really is. And it's holocausts have happened all over the world. They are when one group of people wants to eliminate another group of people. And it's we think of the Holocaust of the Nazis, and it's right to think of that because that was such a powerful thing that we just couldn't believe was really happening. But it did happen. And there have been other ones. Even in the last 20 years, there have been people groups who have been targeted for elimination. And some other group of people has taken steps to eliminate them. So all these things are going on in our world today. And we can realize that it is a matter of somebody also wants to target us. You know that we have a lot of riches in America. We have land. We have things. And surely there's other countries that would like it if they didn't have to pay too much for it and pay too much in dollars or pay too much in their military lives, whatever it is. But there's things going on where just like James says that wars are because people well, want. Okay, it's a little more than that, but people want what other people have, and what are they willing to do to take it? Always different, and we must be aware of that, especially as we have a great deal of riches in our country. And there are different ways to take it. Yes, there's the military way of just coming in and stealing. I mean, that's one way. But so is it's also done by laws. By laws and what possibly could be coming. See, one of the laws, and I mentioned this kind of earlier, was the vaccine. Would that be required? And if it wasn't, would you be allowed to go shopping? Would you be allowed to buy and sell? I mean, I'm not really sure. Nobody is. Well, anyway, no regular people are. But it's something that is really going on. And there are people who have had the plans about how to contain and control and acquire the assets of our country and our people. It's been going on for decades. So there is a question about whether the COVID vaccine has something to do with that. You know, about the COVID vaccine, I just want to say a little bit right now about that, because there are things going on currently, right now, that are questioning the vaccine's validity or if it's even a good thing at all. There's information that we all can look up, but somehow we just don't. We just don't. It's so unfortunate that we don't learn things. So I'm going to talk about a hearing in front of a Senate committee there on February 1st, 2022. And in that testimony, there were several military doctors who gave their testimony. There were a couple of non-military doctors who gave their testimony. Oh, I guess one way to look it up would also, besides the Senate hearing, would be the DOD Project Salus, Salus, S-A-L-U-S, the Defense Department report to the CDC. That's what that was. And it addresses the effects of what they call the COVID-19 vaccine upon our troops. It's just things that you would not expect to hear about. But if we don't look, if we don't educate ourselves, believe me, the people that want what we have, they're not going to help us. Nobody's going to help us. It is up to us to seek out understanding and pursue, keep maintaining our freedom. So this like I said, report in front of the Senate of February 1st, 2022, had some testimony of various doctors, including military doctors. And there was a discussion about all sorts of things, including a 300% increase in spontaneous abortions. There was discussion about the vaccine containing gene number P53. And when that gene was combined with the spike proteins in the vaccine, it became a cancer promoting agent. So again, discussion in that hearing about 83,600 cases of neurological damage among our troops in 1 year. And our troops included pilots. And you know, pilots sure need their neurological connections. So they're just things that I don't know why we don't hear about it. It's as though somebody wants us to take this vaccine no matter what. But we don't hear both sides of the argument. So it is up to us to pursue understanding so that us and our families are as healthy as can be. You know that this current vaccine has the mRNA component to it. And a part of the testimony that was going on was that this would affect everyone's DNA. And what that means is our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they will all be affected permanently from it. So again, I say, look out, look around, get a little education for what the two different sides are saying. The sides are so different, and if this really is such a great big harmful thing, we had better be aware of it. So don't neglect your understanding, your seeking understanding and education about this. After all, if you refuse to look, the consequences will be upon your own head. And I don't know what they are, but there is great biblical examples about if we neglect the pursuit of understanding, and we will suffer the consequences. Therefore, I say, please look. Please look and seek understanding. That's a biblical principle. And when you see the people going on, oh, yeah, just have a look. Oh, let's think. Okay, I'm going to think a little more about the Holocaust. And yes, the one among the Jews in Eastern Europe and Europe. But that's not the only part of the Holocaust to look at and remember and wonder about. And of course, I do say wonder about, because we all wonder about why it was allowed, or why even would so many Jewish people go onto cattle cars to be shipped away. Or you could also ask, how could our God let so many Jews, his own people, it said, how could he let them be shipped off in cattle cars to a place where their hair would be shaven, their jewelry would be taken, and they would be forced into a shower of poison, just put in naked, packed into those places, and then the great number of deaths. How could it happen? How could it happen? Well, it happens a little bit at a time. If you go back to that time, those decades, in those European countries that were affected, it started with a little thing. It started with Jewish people being forced to wear a yellow star. And they were forced to only shop in some shops. The public was told that the Jews were a public health hazard. And so you don't want to go near any of those Jews. They're very dangerous. Well, it started off with just little things. The little things grew into further requirements until it was told that they were to go into the cattle cars and be shipped off. Oh, how horrible. Terrible, terrible. But the question that I would also say is, sure, for us, are we going to continue to submit a little bit at a time until we have no ability to resist? I don't have an answer for that, because we all have to ask ourselves the question of if we are going to submit ourselves completely to the authorities. Who's the authority? Is it our family doctor? Is it our governor? Is it the president who says, take this vaccine now? Well, I'm not really sure, because we are all given an individual choice to seek understanding and then to submit to the choice or the authority, or to strive to maintain our own freedom. Do we really want to live free? Do we? Are we going to take those steps? And what is it going to take for each one of us? What's it going to take for our churches, the church we belong to stand up in a way that gives us the strength where we can remain free, where we can have our liberty? Look, there's a great deal of questions for just what we do and how we do whatever it is that we do. And that liberty question just sparked another thought in my thinking. Going back to the year 1943 in Warsaw, when the Nazis were taking control over all of Europe and telling everyone where what to do. So there was in Warsaw a Jewish ghetto. And the Nazi police and Nazi soldiers had been ordered to relocate that Jewish Warsaw ghetto to Treblinka, a death camp. And so there were thousands of Jews in that ghetto, and they didn't know what to do. They were all ready to go, some of them, and some of them said, no, we have to resist. We cannot go. We have to resist the Nazis. And in that whole ghetto, there were, as I recall, there were 5 rifles total. And those 5 rifles, firing whenever it was appropriate, hit the Nazi troops and policemen from time to time. And what those 5 rifles did was gave the Jewish Warsaw ghetto an extra few weeks of life, as the Nazis did not want to go against an armed Jewish ghetto. So that happened at that time. And we don't know what the whole story is, of course. We don't know our position in where we, what we would do or anything like that. It's simply that that is a little touch of history as we try to examine what this means or what that means. But I am talking today about how we can preserve our own freedom. And I don't have an answer to it. There's lots of answers. Like I said earlier, should we get silver and gold? Should we get food to maintain our bodies if it's not available? Well, we all have a different idea. And I could tell you exactly what to do. No, I couldn't, because I don't know. But there are people who do believe they know exactly what to do, and they will tell you. Should you believe them? Should you do it? Oh, I doubt it. I think it's the thing that you need to do, every one of us, is to look at what we need, our own selves. And I have always been suggesting water, food, and warmth. And warmth, firstly, in the way of clothing. But this is just the basics of what it takes to stay free. And I know I've talked before about some of the other things that are nice. I mean, we all need, for instance, a bathroom. So are we going to flush our toilet? Or are we going to have an outdoor toilet with as a pit in the ground? Look, I don't know any of these things. These are what you have to decide. You have to have a grasp of what it takes for you to maintain your liberty and freedom. And I sure don't know what it is. I know I talked about the battle rifle. Well, I don't know what that means either. I can't suggest anybody have one. I don't suggest it. It's just an option for what those Afghani soldiers would have thought about, or what those Ukrainian fighters would have thought about. Like I said, I don't know the answers, and I'm not suggesting anyone have these things. I just say, you think about what it is. I do remember in Yugoslavia, well, as a history guy, I remember in Yugoslavia, 1956, they had a revolt against the Soviet oppression, and plenty of people rose up and fought against the Soviet soldiers that came in and the tanks. They literally made what are those Molotov cocktails and threw them at the tanks and in the advancing soldiers that wanted to do violence to them. I had a professor, this was a long time ago, but he was one of those so-called freedom fighters, and he made Molotov cocktails to throw against the tanks. And of course, the tanks won. Not only did the tanks win, they also caused, well, let me think. It was, as I recall, it was more than 100,000, like 200,000 Yugoslavians to have to flee the country, because once they opposed the Soviet rulers, they were targeted. So they left the country. And I think, I just said one of my history professors was one of them. And so he left the country, specialized in a certain area of history, and was hired at where I went to university. Well, the thing is I'm just talking about preserving our freedom. And do I quite know how? No, I don't, because we each have a different idea about what is important and how to do it. We have all sorts of things that we just don't know. We don't know them, and we seek to understand. That's what we do. That's why I don't think any one of us can tell another one of us what to do. But we can examine what there is and try to understand. Get some understanding before we are forced into a discussion, before we're forced into doing this or doing that. Oh, I do want to thank people for the donations that they have made to me. I really do appreciate that. And in the last 2 months, I have received a few donations. I'm certainly not talking to anyone who has sent me a donation recently, but if there is somebody who is able to send me $10 or $20, it certainly would be nice. It helps with my broadcast costs, and everything has been costing. I've been doing this for 5 years now, and I don't get a lot of donations at all. I just kind of barely make it through with the small amount of income I have. Anyway, I do appreciate anybody who has a little bit to send me, and I do appreciate that you listen to the broadcast. It's so good. I'm thankful for what God has given me this opportunity. And I just kind of puzzle over it. It's so amazing to talk to people like this. Oh, let's see. And so I do have my free preparedness pamphlet, and I'm so glad to send that to anybody. If you would just send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Yeah. I do appreciate things that, and I appreciate the good words that I've had from people who like this broadcast. It's not mine, it's Christ's. But but I'm thankful for the good things that are said, and I'm thankful for the people who have something to send me also. We have a lot of things to pray about. Yes, I pray with thanksgiving for that. And yes, I pray for quite a lot of things and quite a lot of people. And prayer is the first step. That's what I think orients us to the Spirit of God. And I hope we all do a great deal of praying. And then sometimes it is necessary to have action to bolster our decisions about the prayer, the ideas that we get during prayer. And I will always say get food, get water, get warmth. So water is the water filter, and a little water to store otherwise. And food is a big variation because we all have an idea of what that means. And it can be a canned food. Yeah, that's fine. But canned food does get a little tiring to eat. So I always like grains. Grains last a long, 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 long time. White grain, I really meant white rice. White rice is one grain. I like wheat. I like legumes. It's just have a look and see what you can put together for your long-term, just-in-case, food supply. We never quite know what a fruit tree holds, but we do have some pretty good ideas. So I do want everyone to think about all those things. We are living in times that are haven't really repeated themselves. They kind of have in history. Things repeat, themes repeat, but we're seeing things that we never thought would happen. I know, for instance, in the news, there has been a discussion of why billionaires are selling their stocks right now. Why? Why are billionaires selling their stocks? Well, billionaires have a pretty good understanding of what's happening and what's coming because they're powerful people. And so why have they been selling the stocks that they own in the last days, weeks? Why? Because they expect the stock values to go down. And it's just a matter of what we all can recognize going on around us, and then we get to choose to do something about it. And that's always going to be different. We get an idea of what our future is, partly from the past and partly from Scripture that tells us what's going to happen. So I do think that it's always good to read all of the Scripture, not just one, but I think of, in a way, it's obvious what's going to happen in the future because God has already told us what happens when one thing or another happens. God tells us the consequences. I know I think of Ezekiel 14:21, where God tells us about the four sore judgments of God and how they will afflict us or afflict a nation when such and such happens. So we already know plenty about what happens when our nation or our family or each one of us does something. The behavior brings about a certain response. And so we do know from Scripture what kind of things God likes and God doesn't like, what He blesses, and what He gives us pretty serious consequences for. And that is all in Scripture. So I think it's better if each one of us get an understanding for it and try to read Scripture ourselves so that we know. Are we always going to say, Hey, Pastor, what does this mean? Pastor, what about that? Well, God gave us the Scripture so we can understand it, and we ought to examine it prayerfully and do that. So think about what is going on around us today, and of course, what the threats to our freedom and liberty can be. Because you know there's been plenty of people who want to take our liberty. They have all sorts of ideas, and they first try one area and then another, and just to weaken our hold on liberty. So we all need to think about how do we maintain it. And I say you examine this yourself so that you can get an understanding for you and what it means. Yes, everybody has an idea. I have ideas, lots of people have ideas, but it's up to you to actually make the decisions. So think about it. Think. Think about it in a scriptural context. And again, let me say, if you are moved to send a few dollars my way, I think that would be just wonderful. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And of course, I always have my free preparedness pamphlet available for anyone who sends me a stamped self-addressed envelope. Oh, and you can remember to if you want to listen to this or any other broadcast again, go to the website www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. So just keep your mind active, keep thinking, consider the just in case, because it just might happen. Always, I'm thankful for your prayers, and I do pray for my people who listen to this. My people, I'm sorry. Anybody who listens. So there's often people who get a little some understanding from Christian radio. Oh, yes, I pray for them. And I pray for the people who are concerned about me, too. And I certainly give my listeners a lot of thanks and prayers. Well, here we go. And just you, please keep thinking. And with the threats that there could be to our liberty, just examine how you would maintain liberty if that was what you were going to do. All right. Thank you for listening today. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every nation. Yeah. Shine your light, shine your light. I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live inside your glory, glory now. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live my life inside your glory, glory now. Father, how you love me. Give me shelter and cover me with your mercy. You are moving all around us. We are kneeling, desperately seeking your face, your way. Shine your light, shine your light.
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts with John Stephenson. John understands the importance of being prepared. Through rain, rocks, and snow, he has seen it all and survived. He has seen major disasters like Mount St. Helens and how vehicles were stopped in the street from the volcanic ash. Earthquakes, too, including the Loma Prieta earthquake, which felt like it wouldn't stop shaking. People were without electricity and could not hardly buy groceries or gasoline. The homeless lit bonfires in the streets. The Bay Bridge and other freeways were broken. God only knows what will be next.
Welcome to Preparedness Thoughts by John Stephenson. We invite Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to guide us as we examine how our preparations can be used to preserve the life of ourselves, our family, and others. Most people feel comfortable that our man-made supply lines will deliver our essential food and services. So comfortable are these people that they feel they do not need to prepare for any potential disruption of those supply lines. They also feel comfortable enough with nature that they do not believe that there will be any hugely disruptive events like a fire, a flood, or an earthquake, or even that their food supply will be affected by the farmers having disruptions, like from a dry year, or locusts, or wet weather, or whatever. Most people have enough faith that our current system will meet their current needs, that they feel they have no need to prepare for whatever. If there's a failure at any point in our system, they don't need to be concerned. And the reason of this is so obvious to me. You see, people expect everything to continue just as it always has. So most people nowadays have taken absolutely zero preparedness steps for just in case our delivery of food or goods or services slows down or even stops. Maybe you are one of those few people who have a few weeks of food on hand. But look around at your friends and your neighbors, and they pretty much have only a small amount of food on hand. And that means there are not many people who could get by if the stores did not open for a few weeks. Maybe you think that you've not been warned about a big danger, and so there is no big danger. Or maybe you just have not looked to see what dangers there could be. But in the last 15 years, there have been warnings. There have been books that have warned us about how supplies and services could suddenly stop. There were the congressional reports about a grid-down scenario that could last for maybe 10 years. And 3 years ago, there was the presidential directive on national preparedness that was coordinated with Homeland Security. And much of that report had to do with terrorist threats. So, you see, we have been warned one way or another, but the real question is, what are we going to do after we heard the warning? Now, hopefully, you will take some preparedness steps for the what if there is a great big event. What if? And how nice it would be to have food and supplies for you and your family and your friends, and even for charity if there was such an event. Well, this is episode 82, and I hope you start your preparations now before there is an urgent need and what you want is hard to find. Remember to give thanks to God for the blessings that you do have.
Your letters with questions or donations are important. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Email prepareforgod at usa.com. Thank you for listening to Preparedness Thoughts on KKXX.
Soul, my Savior, call to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.